What's going on, y'all? This is Jerome Smith, also known as JS, aka The Best, and welcome back to my favorite day of the week, Sync Music Mondays. And you already know I gotta introduce my man of the hour, the co-host, all that, my man K Sparks, also known as Kyle Hunter. What's good, man?
What's up, Jay? What's up, man? Yo, we moving, man. Sync Music Mondays, man. This is amazing, man. The subscriptions is crazy. People are just tapped in, man. So, yo, we appreciate y'all, man. This is fire, Jay. You know what I mean?
Let the people know, what is the word of the day? They need these gems. What's the word of the day today?
Facts. So y'all know what it is on Sync Music Mondays. Every Monday, it's not just about music. We preaching financial literacy for your music to empower you, but mind, body, and soul too, right? Because you gotta get your spirit right and your mind right. So today's word of the day, and y'all can see this up on the screen. You can't starve someone that God is feeding. All right, I'm gonna repeat it again. You can't starve someone that God is feeding. So a lot of times, you know, you got people who are the haters. As a musician, you'll encounter that in life. It's like they'll ask you, you know, how's the music going, but they really don't give a damn, or there's a little shade beneath that, or you still doing that, you still doing music, right? So it's a lot of shade out there, a lot of people that might not necessarily believe in your dream until it takes off, right? You know, but there's a saying, like, you know, people closest to the sun get blinded by it. So they can't see your talents, they can't see your gifts, nor can they appreciate them because they're so close to you, right? But they can't starve someone that God is feeding. If you have a vision, you have a goal, you have ambition, God gave you that gift and that talent for a reason. So never mind the people that are haters, that are detractors, they beneath you. All right. You know, people talk behind your back because they're already behind you. You heard? So that's what it is, man. And that is the word of the day.
I love it. That's what I'm talking about. And, you know, I got nothing but love for you. But today, man, it's a little bit different. We got our very first guest, man. This is I'm excited about this because, you know, he's a hip hop artist. He's a songwriter, music business educator. And you already know some of the people that he's worked with in the companies and all that. Netflix, ABC, Hulu, VH1, ABC, UFC. You know, I could keep going on and on, but we not gonna go all the way in because we don't have that type of time. And he don't have that type of time. Ladies and gentlemen, the king, the young legend, Jay Nolan. What's good, man?
Hey, man, that's a hell of an intro right there. Real.
Yeah, man. Now, we appreciate you taking out the time, man, because you could have been doing anything in the world and you taking out the time to be with us. So now we appreciate you.
Absolutely. Much respect.
For sure. For sure. And I just want to know, like, how did you get started? Like, where are you from originally?
Okay. So I grew up in Atlanta. I was born in Connecticut, moved around quite a bit. So early childhood was spent primarily in California up to about 8 years old, and then moved to Atlanta. And this is where I've been ever since.
Nice, nice. I love it. So how did you actually get into music?
So music, I basically inherited it from my older brother. So he's like 5 years older than me. He was already rapping at about 12, 13 years old. So I kind of was just like following his footsteps and trying to be like Big Bro, for real.
Yeah.
And from there, I guess it just kind of turned into like an obsession type of thing. Like, because I wanted to be able to impress my brother. So it was like I just started studying the art form and the craft and just wanting to elevate. And, you know, once I got outside and started getting around my peers, I wanted to impress them just as much, you know. So I think that's what really helped me get along further.
Yeah,
it's just like being in that communal space. Like, we always challenged each other. Like, I formed my little crew called Manifest in high school, and you know, we all used to come back to school every day. Like, if you didn't have a rhyme that you wrote like last night, like, it was like, what you been doing? You know what I mean? So yeah, that's kind of how everything evolved. And I just kind of took that mantra and held it within myself as like life progressed and everybody went their separate ways. Like, I stuck with it.
Now, you said something that just kind of got my attention. You said that you studied. Now, I want to know, I'm curious, like, what and who did you study during that time period? Like, who were some of the artists or just business practices? What were some of the things that you were studying?
I mean, really, just looking at the time period, so I'm 33. Mm-hmm. So this is like early to mid 2000s. So I'm listening to Nas, Jay, Fab, Eminem, D-Block, Papoose was like that guy, you know what I'm saying? So looking at the types of artists I was listening to, like especially when you go into like the Papooses, like he was doing like literal challenges on the mic, you know, alphabetical slaughter, stuff like that. Or you get like a Saigon who's doing like the letter P. He's using a whole song going through the letter P and things of that nature. So I started really like, let me see if I could do the letter S. You know what I'm saying? Or my own interpretation of that. So it was like MCing was at an all-time high where if you could not rap, then you don't need to be in the rapper circle. You can hype us up, but don't step in here. You know, like, it's not something to play with. So that's really the era that I came up into. I know it's a lot different today. And, you know, I've adapted to what's going on now as well. You know, there's a technique and, you know, a lot of different things to study within the realm of what's going on now as well. But back then it was more so about just literal talent. What you saying and can you really rap?
Facts. You know what? I wanted to ask you that too, man. Like, you know, because when you said transitioning to the landscape today, so as far as your musicality, because, you know, it's interesting, man. I remember, like, when the internet era was booming, right? So we're talking about, like, 07. I remember seeing your name, too. You know what I'm saying?
Like, likewise.
Yeah, there was a couple of us that was just killing it. You know what I mean? Like, I remember my man Cuddy, of course. Cuddy blew up. But it's like, you know, him, Wale. I saw your name. I saw other people's names, too. So it was, like, you know, a core group with, like, making music, killing the internet. So for you, transitioning to this modern era, like, can you talk about that? Like, what does that shift look like for you?
Oh man, it took a while for me to really adapt, because like, you know, I vividly remember the era that you're talking about, and then there was also like an era after that where like the blog game went crazy, like 2010 to 2012 ish you know what I'm saying? And so that I think for a moment I kind of got stuck in that time loop of like, dang, this blog thing is like over. Like, man, what's next? Because it was a time where you could just have thousands of people downloading a project and, you know, they were locked in with you. This is like without having to maintain an Instagram on a daily basis. Like, all you really had to do was get on Twitter, MySpace, or whatever, and then you hitting up your favorite blog, the Two Dope Boys, Kevin Nottingham's, all these different places.
DJ Booth,
yeah, for sure. You know what I'm saying? So those places like really kept artists in heavy rotation, and there was a heavy focus on the true independence of it. And once I saw that like changing, it was very complicated for me for a minute to like figure out what was next. But the thing that helped me figure out what was next was inadvertently I got introduced to the whole sync thing, but we'll get to that in a minute. But overall, I think what really helped was the fact that by 2017, it was like, yo, if you still trying to do this, you gonna have to get with the kids, man. You gonna have to not necessarily like dumb down or anything, but you gonna have to figure out, okay, how do I take the flows, the beats, the bounce, and still be unique to myself within that space and not like just completely conform. But it's like, you know, I did put a lot of time in to study and learn the craft. So it's like, all right, it's time to apply that. You know what I mean? Like, you did perfect a certain element of it at a certain time period, but all right, now it's the next thing. So how do you move forward?
Facts. You know, that's a big thing. You know, they call it being able to pivot. So it's like, you know, sometimes you get so used to doing one thing for so long, but it's like, yeah, you got to be able to pivot. You got to see the writing on the wall. So, I mean, yeah, man, that's pretty dope that you were able to transition like that, man. So I guess kind of like going from that point to sync, like how did you get introduced to the world of sync music?
All right. So my first introduction to sync was, man, I think the concept of sync was brought to me in 2011. I didn't know nothing about it at all. And I forgot. It was some type of competition I was doing, basically. And this dude hit me up and he wanted to use one of my songs for this film, this independent film that was coming out called You're Nobody Till Somebody Kills You.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, Spike Lee, like, executive produced it, and his protege, like, had directed the film or whatever. They had, like, Rick Ross and a bunch of people on the soundtrack. So this dude was trying to get me on the soundtrack for that movie and in the actual film. So the issue that I had was I wasn't able to get on that film because the producer didn't want to share his social security information for the W-9 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, he didn't understand what was going on.
But so he had warrants or something like that?
Oh, no, fam.
A lot of people are like that, though. That's why I'm very cautious of who I collaborate with, because we can, you know, be locked in musically, but when it comes down to the paperwork, like, you as a collaborator, you have to sign off on this. And if you can't sign off, then it's like we missing out on a lot of opportunities and money.
Man, I don't know if he was, like, illegal at the time or what. Like, but he wasn't trying to do it, so I missed out on that opportunity. And all I really knew, like I said, I didn't know nothing about Sync, but I knew, dang, this is a film. I could have had my music in, and I just lost that opportunity basically for nothing. So the next time around, I did this competition on Sonic Biz, and basically they had Quiksilver, you know, the surf brand or whatever. They were doing this thing where they were trying to find music to play during, like, this surf competition. So they ended up selecting one of my songs, and it was supposed to air during the broadcast. I never actually found out whether or not it got played on that, but it definitely kind of made me more interested in, like, all right, how does this stuff work? This is the second time I've been confronted with it. Then probably 6 to 8 months later, this dude named Joseph Parker reached out to me in my inbox on Twitter, and he's like, hey, bro, I see everything you're doing. You dope artist. I got this producer over here. We locked in. I think you should work with him on some stuff. And we're getting music placed in TV and film. So he was like, I'm going to have him shoot you an email with, like, a pack of beats, and we'll go from there. So at that time, I didn't know how to write for Sync or nothing. You know what I mean? So I'm over there just writing, like, regular raps. And, you know, he's kind of like, yeah, this is dope, but we're going to have to, like, make some changes to what you're doing here. Like, you dropping all types of names and, you know, the metaphors are dope, but we can't do nothing with that. I'm like, I don't know what you talking about, bro. This is fire.
I got bars, bro. This is bars right here.
Yeah, you know, but he like, nah, it's different, you know. So he didn't really, like, give me no restrictions or anything, but he was just like, you know, try to ease back with, like, those brands and, like, using public figures' names and stuff like that. Like, you can still be creative, but that part might get us, like, knocked out of opportunity. So I started adapting and understanding what was going on. So my first real placement was with the UFC situation, Road to the Octagon, where they played my music, like, during that, basically, like, the backstory behind the match for the fighters or whatever. And, you know, that played on, like, pay-per-view. Then eventually it got played on Fox Sports and all these different Fox-affiliated channels. So that was, like, my real introduction to Sync, because I got to see the different layers of how everything rolls out and how those royalty payments, like, add up over time. So I was like, okay, yeah, I really need to get serious about this.
Nah, I love it. Yeah, I did some work on there too. So I love it. That's what I'm talking about.
Facts. Facts, man. Yeah, that's a game changer, man. That's a game. So I guess, you know, I mean, I know you've been successful. What are some of the placements that you've had that have been, like, some really definitive moments for you where you like, yo, this is surreal. Like, that's what's up.
Surreal was definitely the Kevin Hart Zero Fucks Given placement, because number one, I didn't know it was coming. So, you know, it was a process to even get the song that got used to get accepted by a library. You know what I mean? Because we did this song called Re-Up, and like two or three libraries declined it just because of the title. And they like, we think you're talking about drugs. And I'm like, did you listen to the song? Ain't no drugs in there. But, you know, it's slang. You know what I mean? And that don't always translate. So this company called Ninja Tune ended up picking the song up cool, sat on it maybe like 3-4 months. I did this this outdoor concert. This is in the middle of the pandemic in 2020. Did this outdoor concert, driving, and then you know, me and my girl go back to the house. She's like, "You want to check out this Kevin Hart joint?" I'm like, yeah, we could throw it on. It's cool." So throw that joint on. We getting relaxed, chilling, and you know, right at the intro where he's making his way to the stage, I'm like, "That voice sound familiar." I'm not even catching on that it's me. You know what I mean? I'm like, I heard this dude before.
They're like, "Yo, he nice."
We get like 20 seconds in. I'm like, "Oh, that's me." My girl, like, "What you talking about?" "That's you. That's Kevin Hart." I'm like, "No, the song, that's me." So,
yeah.
You know, that was like surreal. Just to be like affiliated with Kevin Hart in any form or fashion, you know, was like totally unexpected. Mm-hmm. Then on top of that, there's the validity that it brings from like a public perception standpoint, to where like other placements that I may have had on like Love and Hip Hop or, you know, Raunchy TV gets a different response than the biggest comedian in the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that was like a whole nother door that opened just from having that, from people taking it serious. Like, "Oh, wow, you're really an artist." You know what I mean? Right. Like, "Okay, right. I've been that, but I ain't right. bet." Right. You know, to so that was like a big deal. I would say another surreal moment was recently, actually. So during the U.S. Open with the tennis and everything, I actually had a song that was placed right before Venus and Serena's like final doubles match. You know, and they had like Questlove narrating this whole thing over the track. So it was like it was a dope situation, because it's like, it's the U.S. Open, it's Venus and Serena, it's their last time playing together, like in a real match. And then you got Questlove narrating it at the same time. Like, so if you're really in the culture and you know, revere these people the way they should, it's like, all right, that's dope.
Yeah. You know?
So that was definitely one. And I think the other one that really kind of took me by surprise was I did this brief where they was kind of like looking for a Lil Wayne replacement type of thing, but I didn't really know where it was going. So I ended up doing, it was kind of like a Lil Wayne Uproar replacement. So we did the track, whatever, whatever. And, you know, initially we were working with Sky TV over in London to do this. So I'm like, all right, you know, I don't even know what Sky TV is really, you know what I mean? But I'm guessing like, okay, that's kind of like the Comcast of the UK. Mm-hmm. So cool, we do that. By the time it actually rolls out, it's really a Comcast commercial, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, hey, yo, like, I grew up with Comcast. Back. You know what I'm saying? Like, Comcast done charged me all type of fees over the years. Like, I actually get some money off of them now? Bet. So, I would say those are, like, the main ones that really, like, meant the most to me. Every placement means a lot, you know, just to be able to have the opportunity and to be paid to make music, especially for something that, for a long time, I wasn't really being paid, especially not properly or fairly, you know what I mean? So it's like, getting to this point is just an extreme blessing.
Definitely, man. That's a big fact, man. I think that's the key thing about sync too. It's like, when people look at, in terms of how the streaming system can be so predatory on artists, right? It's like, how many streams it actually takes just to make a dollar. It's insane. So, you know, to actually be able to monetize your music price to scale with sync is insane. Like, you know, we just did an episode where we talked about the different types of payouts that you can get, and it's no comparison. You know, like, sync is definitely an outlet that changes lives, and it helps artists sustain a living. Like, you know, you get a check for 10 bands, 15 bands. Sometimes I had one for like 25 bands where it's like at one shot, and then you're getting streaming on top of that, and that's cool. But, you know, you're getting that payout on the front end and the back end. I mean, that's amazing, man. So it's definitely changing lives, man. You know, if you could drop some gems for like some artists, because we got a lot of artists that listen to us, And they want to get into sync. They're not really sure how. What are some gems that you can provide to those artists, like, in terms of that, you know?
When it comes to sync, I think one of the ways that I try to demystify it is by telling artists to get familiar with basic music publishing principles. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it is TV and film, but the backbone of it is publishing. You know what I'm saying? So you got to make sure that, number one, you got your ducks in a row as far as the music you're even using. A lot of people come to me, you know, when I talk about sync, and they're coming to me with beats they're finding online on YouTube and stuff like that. And I'm like, bro, you already shot yourself in the foot. Like, I can't even really talk to you much further than this about that, because if you don't have the exclusive license, which who's going to pay for that? You're going to pay $2,500 for a beat before you even put it out. It makes no sense. So, you got to have that in order. You got to have, like, your songwriter splits. Like, you actually got to talk to people about what the splits are going to be. You can't just assume what it's worth based on your perception. Like, oh, I'm making a song, so I'm going to take 80% because it's my song. You know what I mean? Like, you got to talk to people and let them know what you're trying to do. And get it in writing and an agreement. You know what I'm saying? So those are things that you got to do. Then as far as, like, you know, a lot of people want to jump in and reach out to music supervisors or whatever the case may be. And it's like, okay, do you know how to properly write an email? You know what I'm saying? You can't just approach people like they're your friends and be like, hey, what's up? You know what I mean? Or things like that. Like, simple things. Like, I guess they call those, like, the soft skills, right? Being able to... knowing where to have your music. Like, you know, like this whole disco thing is like the new spot where everybody's putting their music and sending it out. Like, if you're still using SoundCloud, like, that's all right, but the standard at this point is disco. Like, but how do you find that stuff out? Nobody's really talking about it. Then there's also the element of, like, you do have to know what your masters are. Like, you know what I mean? You gotta have ownership or at least administrative rights. Like, all of these, like, simple things that seem like, oh man, what y'all talking about? But a lot of artists need to really just sit down for like 72 hours. It don't take a lot, you know what I mean? And brief yourself over like the real basics and be like, okay, I have this, check. I have that, check. I have this. Okay, cool. Now I can move forward. And you also, I mean, just a simple thing is get used to not hearing back from people. You know what I mean? Some people take that stuff personally. You know what I mean? I'll tell somebody, hey, you can reach out to this person over here. And then 3 days later, they hit me back like, man, they ain't even said nothing. Are they really like accepting music? I'm like, yeah, they are. That's why they ain't saying nothing. Like, they actually got to get to it. So, you know, I think the biggest issue with artists is patience. Everybody wants it right now. Everybody's like instant results, instant gratification. Why is it not working? And it's like, you got to literally go through the process. You're going to get yeses. You're going to get no's. You're going to get no answer. And maybe they hit you back 8 months from then. And you can't take that personal and be like, oh, you ain't want to work with me 8 months ago. Like, they weren't thinking about that. They just opened it. So I think patience and really just putting yourself in other people's shoes. Like, all right, I'm me. But what is this person going through? Like, okay, I know you got a lot on your plate. Okay, now I can't take that personal because I know when I have a lot on my plate, I may not get back to everybody in a timely fashion. All right, I can humanize that. But just small things like that will help people tremendously. And it sounds like, oh, you didn't really give me no step-by-step roadmap on how to get a sync. There is no step-by-step roadmap because your process may differ from mine. You know what I'm saying? And as I look at different people, some people get a bunch of trailers. I haven't had a bunch of trailer placements. Like, that's a different thing that I may not know all about because I haven't done it. You know what I'm saying? Whereas some people may just be racking up like on the reality shows or the sports shows and stuff like that. So everybody's got a different realm that they're good at or that they excel in. So there's no one way to do it. You know what I mean?
I agree with you, man. And you know what? You made a lot of valid points, but especially with artists taking things personal. Like, I've had that happen a lot of times where like artists are like, damn, I sent you an email, you didn't get back to me. But the crazy thing is, like, you know, I get so many emails, like, and a lot of times artists have a bad habit of putting attachments on the email. So it's like, you're sending me an email with like 10 tracks that are all WAV files, and then like every day my email is maxed out because I can't, and people think like, you know, you're being dismissive, but it's not that. You just can't get to everything. So yeah, not taking things personal. And the production thing was key too that you mentioned, because I know a lot of artists or producers, like, they'll use these beats from Splice. And now that's a big thing that's happening right now, where a lot of artists that use these Splice samples, they're getting these content ID strikes. Why? Because you got hundreds of artists using the same flips, and they ain't flipping them. They just blatantly use them the same way. So when you got hundreds of artists that are putting songs in content ID, but they're using the same Splice sample, now you're racking up these content ID strikes. You can't monetize it. And the potential clients that might want to monetize it from you, they like, yo, I ain't dealing with you, because yeah, your stuff always get content ID strikes. So knowing how to work with producers who have the right production so you can actually monetize it, that's key, you know?
Thanks.
Definitely, man.
Now, if you could go back and do it all over again, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Oh, man. I would just say, because I think all of the early stuff I did was pretty much right for the time period. But I would definitely tell my younger self to, like, detach from this... is fantasy a lot sooner. You know, I had this idea. My idea of how it was supposed to go was crazy. You know what I mean? Like, in high school, I thought I was gonna sign with The Rock, Rockefeller. You know what I'm saying? I'm listening to State Property, Beanie Siegel, Jay, Bleak, whoever, Tierra Marie. It didn't matter. long as they was with The Rock, I was listening. You know what I'm saying?
So, Sean.
Yeah, the whole slope. Everybody, bro. Like, and then you had the, man, it was ridiculous. So, but I had this idea that a limo was just gonna pick me up from school. Dame was gonna have bottles, and we were gonna, like, ride off into the sunset, do songs with Jay and everything. You know what I mean? And I held on to that for a minute until I was, you know, about 21 or so. So then after that, it was kind of like, all right, trying to get the radio thing going, or trying to, like, get past this hurdle of, you know, I had a weird stage fright. Like, I was cool with freestyling and battling folks, but actually performing songs took me a while to, like, get to. But I think if I would have adapted just more of a business approach at an earlier age, I think I kind of would have done a lot more, a lot faster. You know, when I was looking at everything, like, dang, why is it not happening? There were actionable steps that I could have taken to better that situation, but I just wasn't aware. And to be honest, I mean, just to think, I'm talking about 2007, 2010. We're in 2022, and so many artists are just now hearing about Sync from people like us because we're talking about it. But if we weren't talking about it, there's so many that would still be in the dark. Because of, it's a cultural thing as well that we got to overcome. Like, I remember watching the Jamie Foxx show when I was young and seeing him doing Jingles 2000. It was like, that is the corniest thing I ever seen. You know what I'm saying? Because he up on the screen, roaches, you know what I mean? I was like, I don't ever want to do that. That's not music. Like, but you got to understand, like, all right, you can make all the music that you want. You could be as creative. You could sample every song you want on your album, but just understand what you're gonna be able to do with that and what you're not, right? And then if you actually wanna have a career, like, there's certain things you're gonna have to do. If you wanna partner up and have management or assistants that work for you, you're gonna have people skills to where they wanna work with you. Like, it's just, for anything that you want to do, there's a set of responsibilities that come with it, and we just got to adapt. You know what I mean? That's the main thing.
Facts. In the military, they say adapt and overcome. So that's like a phrase, like, no matter what happens, you got to be able to pivot, adapt, and overcome that situation. And yeah, I think with artists, a lot of times, man, it's like, it's a constant state of evolving because things constantly change. I remember back in the days, being in Queens, I got my stereo and I'm recording stuff on my cassette tape. You know what I'm saying? Recording my favorite show. And then that progressed to the, you know, CDs. We had CDs. Then CDs went to MP3s. You know, now we got streaming. So everything changes. You know, you got to be able to pivot and constantly evolve. If you're not growing, you're dying.
Facts.
That's it, man. That's it. So yeah, man. I mean, so what you got going on now, Jay? Is there anything that, you know, people should know about? Like any projects in particular that you know you want them tapped in with, or what you got going on?
So right now, it's actually a good time because a couple days ago, the show called The Hype Season 2 just aired on HBO Max, to where you could catch the first couple episodes, episode 1 and 2. I got a couple songs on there, a song called Getting to the Money that I wrote for an artist by the name of London Elixir. And then episode 2, I actually got a song called Work that's produced by London Elixir on there as well. So I would just say get tapped in with The Hype season 2. And later on in the season, we got another placement on there as well. That's pretty much the latest that's going on. And for anybody out there that's like, you know, wants to tap in with me outside of this interview or whatever the case may be, I would just say go to realjnolan.com. You can check out my book, The Pen Game Portfolio Volume 2. And it's basically a reiteration of things that we've talked about right here on this podcast. But it's also like, you know, a lot of people come to me with the idea of like sync. But this is music. It's music business. So the book really goes into the history of the music business, how it started, where it's at now, and how to adapt. Like for an artist that may not be working on sync projects, how do you get your social media going? You know what I'm saying? It's little things, you know what I mean? Like how to get a business running off of your phone as an artist, you know what I mean? Utilizing all of these different, you know, every social media is adapting to some way of paying people now, you know what I mean? Whether that's YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, etc., Twitch, you know what I mean? A lot of different platforms that if you're an artist, you might want to tap in with, because some people have bigger personalities than they have talent, you know what I mean? But that doesn't mean that you can't do music. It just means leverage that personality to get people interested in your music, you know what I mean? So it's a lot of different things that's in the book that could help people just really get their situation rolling in a plethora of different ways. You know what I'm saying? Like all roadmaps don't have to lead to sync just because that's something I'm doing. Like I've really studied like the entire landscape of music. So that's one of the things that I'm trying to help people with, is just, all right, how to find your footing. You know what I mean? Because I think that's like a big hurdle for independent artists, especially when you don't have somebody in your corner that's like giving you day-to-day guidance.
Facts, all facts, man. One thing I wanted to ask you too, Jake, you know, to close up, man, you know, everybody has a mantra, whether they know it or not. Like mine's is persistence wears down resistance, and then the others, collaboration is greater than competition. So what's a mantra that you would say has kind of been like your thing?
Oh man, I don't know if I have one. Like I probably do, but I just can't think of it off the top of my head right now. I think more than anything, man, my life is just a never stop learning type of experience, man. Like no matter how abreast you think you are on a subject, there's always more layers to peel back. No matter what your issue is, like there's always a solution, or there's always some form of answer. You know, even at your most confused, or you might be like, God, I'm just throwing my hands up, I don't know what to do, you know what I mean? Like you could be sitting there for 20 minutes, take a nap, wake up, and the answer may just hit you, you know what I mean? So you just can never be closed off to finding solutions for anything. Or just like, just keep going. Like if it's something that you're really passionate about, I know some people say insanity is doing the same things over and over, but honestly, you gotta have routines, even if it's not working. You know what I mean? Like you don't become Michael Jordan or Kobe in a week. Like, well, regardless of what skill set they started with when they first hit the court, like they went back every day, and people might have been like, you're not nice, you know what I mean? There was always somebody on the court that's going to be better than them at a certain point. But it's like, all right, you going to eating cheeseburgers right now, while you go take that break, I'm gonna get some more shots up, you know what I'm saying? Like it's different ways to accomplish things, but you gotta always be a student.
Fire, man. Well, that's it, man. I mean, yo, shout out to you, Jay, for hopping on, man. And, you know, it's a pleasure, man. We looking forward to great things from you, man. And, you know, shout out to all the subscribers, man. Definitely tap in with Jay Nolan, man. Talented brother, man. Talented musician, man. So y'all know the vibes, man. Sync Music Mondays, man.
Yes, we appreciate you taking out the time.
Absolutely, man. This is a pleasure, man. Especially, yo, man, this guy, K Sparks. Like he said, he seen me, I seen him. You know what I'm saying? So
that's what's up.
Hey, I'm telling y'all off camera, man.
No doubt. No doubt, bro. No doubt, man. No doubt. Peace.